Hello, hello. Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm fine. Photo. No. I can give you mine. Thank you. Ah, steady current. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Good afternoon or good day, everybody. Welcome to the fourth NIS lecture of the years. Slightly off schedule, but when we are as lucky to have guests coming all the way from India, we are happy to move our or shift our schedule with 2 weeks. So it's a great pleasure to introduce to you Professor Dr. Dhiran Patel from National Institute of Technology in Surat, India, who will be talking about the National Identity Project, which they have ongoing. So, Professor Surat, I wish you luck and thank you and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you and good noon. Okay. So, this talk is not very technical, but we can always, ponder upon when you ask me questions, we can get into technical thing. So, this talk is titled as India UID Project and Overview. And I acknowledge UIDAI, which is Unique Identification Authority of India, and which is an agency set up by the government of India, which has worked and very hard to make the dream of providing unique identity and enabling Indians or Indian citizens to use it and proving allowing them to prove that who they are, or rather they are they. So this slide, you can see the this is directly taken from the UID portal, and it says that Aadhaar is free. Now, Aadhaar is the project name given to this India UID project, and Aadhaar is support. Like my 2 feet are Aadhaar to my body. So likewise, Aadhaar name is given to Aadhaar equivalent in English is support. So this unique identity is a support to Indian citizens. You can see here in this picture that in rural area, somebody with a mobile device is this device is capable enough to enroll people to Aadhaar project, or and also it can be useful to verify their identity, and it could also be useful to work as a micro ATM so that it can dispense some money when somebody connect through this machine to public distribution scheme and prove its their own identity, and then some disbursement can be given to them. So it's any place, any network, any provider, any device philosophy. Aadhaar Unique Identity Project is a large-scale biometric identity management system. And large-scale means there are 1.2 billion subjects. Believe me, this is a huge. And it is expected to be about 4 trillion transactions a day. So imagine that what kind of systems we are talking about. And sometimes I really wonder that would this dream, which has partly become reality when it go at its full force, will it be able to sustain the pressure, amount of traffic generated on the network, and searches to be made in real time or not? There are certain questions unanswered yet. So this India UID initiative, and now you know that why the project name is given Aadhaar, and there is a unique identification authority of India, and the basic motivation is, as India moves towards a large-scale e-governance adoption, a soft infrastructure for government service delivery is needed to ensure efficiency and accountability across multiple systems. And there is a small picture which says that number design, it is a 12-digit number, and in fact if you look at carefully, it's just 10-digit number. The first digit, you can see the MSB is used for implicit version number, and the last digit is a check digit for it is what? Warhop scheme, which is the number scheme. And believe me, this is a random number. This is not a serial number. This number does not have any intelligence in it. Okay. So Aadhaar vision is to empower residents of India with a unique identity and a digital platform to authenticate anytime, anywhere. And this platform is to enable residents to prove their identity, and for service providers to confirm that the residents are who they say they are. This is very important. Why at first place people thought about Aadhaar? So every time individuals try to access a benefit or service, they must undergo a full cycle of identity verification. And different service providers have different requirements. For instance, one bank says that you give me your ration card, one bank says that you give me your tax card, one bank says that you give me your license, driving license, and so on and so forth. And they demand different documents, and they ask you to fill up forms which are very different. Of course, majority of information is demographic, but sometimes they ask some information that you also cannot interpret, and neither you know why they are asking it. And such duplication of efforts due to identity silos increase overall cost of identity verification and cause inconvenience to people. So it has been thought of that, can we do something so that such inconvenience can run away? And so these are the core objectives of UID project, and around this the system has been designed. The identity should be available to all residents of the country. The system should ensure that each resident get only one ID. This is really a tricky proposition, because when there are 1.2 billion people and over a big geographic boundary, and then there are so many agencies, we can call them as a business corp, business what we can say that BC is business corporates who are doing it, enrollment. It is quite likely that a person will visit one center in one state, enroll himself with a certain name and certain details, and then he goes to another state, and then he try to get register himself again and may get another identity. This is really a very tricky issue, and somehow in UID design it has to be it has been taken care of. We will see how it has been done. The system should ensure that only the owner of ID can use the ID to make a transaction. This is very, very simple, because unlike the credit card number, unique ID, is, you know, cannot be used alone, because with that ID, you need to present yourself, because it is based on biometric authentication framework. And this is very central and important to the idea of UID. The system should be capable of electronically authenticating residents so that the government or private service delivery systems can ascertain identity of their customer. The system should be available online anytime, anywhere, so that the ID is recognized across the country over networks and thereby improving service delivery. Again, it's a difficult proposition in the country where the you know, information infrastructure is not very strong. But still, we are trying to build and trying to propagate it through. So, one person, one identity. One person, multiple identity can be prevented. And similarly, multiple person getting through one identity also can be prevented. And why biometric? In fact, because this institute has a very strong biometric group, this slide would just vanish away, but still it is there, and let me just give you the brief thing that identity system that rely only on demographic field and personal reference checks are vulnerable to forgery, falsification, theft, loss, and other corruption. Since biometric markers are unique to people, they can be used to ensure uniqueness. And here you can see the biometric used in Aadhaar system is iris, 10 fingers, and a face. And this slide gives you a little idea that indeed iris is unique to person. Fingerprints, which look like your thumbprint, which look like same, but these are the small associated slide, is a Galton features, which you know, further distinguish it and says that every fingerprints are unique, though there is no proof. Where is Frederick? Is there any proof that every individual has unique fingerprint? Has anybody done that? So it's a belief, and we strongly believe that it's unique. And then this little photograph of face, where you know how this metric would you know, categorize that individual faces, though sometimes they look same, are indeed distinguishable and are different. Purpose is to build Aadhaar system is to provide identity platform and identity infrastructure for delivery of various social welfare program and for effective targeting of these services. And the system has grown in capability, and more than 800 million Aadhaar numbers have been issued so far using the system. This enrollment takes up your demographic detail like name, date of birth or age, gender, address, and then mobile number and email address are optional. Biometric data, 10 fingerprints, 2 iris scans, and a photograph or a face. And for children under 5 years old, because their biometric, except the iris, are tend to vary over the period of time. So it has been decided that until unless they are 5 years old, let's use their parents' you know, details, and but issue them the ID. This slide, either it is visible, but this shows the interface which asks certain details, and so for enrollment, this is the enrollment interface into the system, which they have loaded to different agencies, because you know, enrolling 1.2 billion residents is also a very huge task, and it requires lots of you know, agencies to work. And the government cannot have their own dedicated staff to do this. So as a result, they have worked with the banks, worked with certain other semi-government agencies, and provided them standard devices, or confirmed their device to the standards, gave them the interface, and then they were given that, okay, in this area you do this work, and in your same area even multiple agencies are there. So eventually the citizen can choose which agency, because when you go to the agency which is from bank, they take up your detail and they say that, okay, look, because you have given us this detail and you are entitled to get free bank account using this. So that's always little, you know, propaganda there, but that you can always say, no, I have already bank account. Then they say that, okay, can you want to link your bank account with our system? So such things are always there. But eventually, idea is to how to reach to population and how to push them to enroll for this UID. And then they take 10 fingerprints. Now, process to ensure no duplicates. This is theoretically it looks possible and impossible as well. But registrar send the applicant's encrypted data packet to the UIDAI data center for deduplication, and other enrollment system performs a search on key demographic field and on the biometrics for each new enrollment to ensure uniqueness. This is a huge task, because when you perform for each new enrollment 1 in 2 N search with already enrolled database or a huge data set, it's going to take time. Though I have confirmed it with the director general of this project last week, and his secretary replied, yes, Professor Patel, we do 1:N search. So I have to believe. But we know that as a computer scientist, that if you do it, say for instance, I am now 800 million and first customer, so then I have to be checked against 800 previous. And it's difficult proposition, but somehow they do it. Other value proposition for resident, it's provide a single source of identity verification across the country for its entire population. For government, it eliminates duplication under various scheme, and it expected to save substantial money for the government exchequer. It provides government with accurate data on beneficiary, because with Aadhaar you will be, so the government vision was to remove duplicates and fake beneficiaries, and they could able to achieve that goal. And now they can also have exact data that how many people are falling into this group which are requiring this kind of benefit, so that they can roll out exactly a very pinpointed and accurate program and budget. For service agencies, uniqueness characteristics of Aadhaar number helps agencies such as bank, telecom companies, insurance companies, etc. to clean out duplicates from their database, and it enables significant agent efficiencies and cost saving. You know, they can, rather than, they can, you know, in fact, they have started a service of know your customer kind of service, or e-authentication service. Now you do not have to physically go to bank to open the account. You can do it sitting at your home. You go to bank. Bank would ask you to put in certain demographic details, and then it has a connection to the Aadhaar gateway, and then it asks a user that if you have biometric scanner, then can you provide your UID and authenticate yourself? And when he authenticate, that person authenticates, then it may, with the proper consent, may even query into the UID database and get the demographic detail, match it with it, and then say, okay, thank you very much, your account is being opened. And that's a huge incentive for those systems, making it IT enabled and saving lots of employees on that. Privacy by design. The approach of storing intelligence in identification numbers was developed to make filing, manual search and bookkeeping easier prior to the advent of computer. This is a very valid statement, and that's how we have a serial roll number, and still today we find it in university, still serial roll numbers, and even your admission ID can identify you, which year you are, or which division you are, or which discipline you are. Aadhaar says that this is no longer necessary, since centralized database management system can index the record for rapid search and access without having to search data by location or date of birth. Aadhaar number is a random number with no built-in intelligence or profiling information. And this number was chosen on the identification needs of the population in the next couple of centuries. What do you think? What would be the population in next couple of centuries? You see, it's from 1.2 to 1.32. It may go up to 5, not more than that. There is absolutely no chance for that. And as a result, even this 10 digits are 12 digits, 10, 11 digits are sufficient. And Aadhaar authentication only responds with a yes or no response, and no resident data is sent back. Specifically, no biometric data sent back. In case of consented electronic know your customer verification, demographic data from the Aadhaar system can be sent back. No pooling of data. So it has no linkage information such as your tax number, which is a permanent account number, driver license number or PDS card number or EPIC number to any other system. And this design allows transaction data to reside in specific system in a federated model. This approach allows resident information to stay in distributed fashion across many systems owned by different agencies. Here now there is a little tricky issue coming in. Somewhere I am saying that it's a central database, and now I am telling that this is distributed database with effective caching mechanism or mappers. So it may be the implementation issues. Yes, no answer for authentication. So this we are talking about privacy by design, and it does not provide any scheme to ask question. However, through eKYC, this question is valid. What is the address of resident whose Aadhaar number is this? So this such questions can be only asked if customer says that for specifically enrollment to banks or where bank would take a formal consent of the customer by getting his timestamp biometric verification, and then that detail can be provided. So that is explicit resident consented eKYC that we have discussed. No transaction history. So it does not have any knowledge of the transaction and not designed to keep track of specific transaction details such as depositing money or obtaining pension or anything else. And this is little strange that no transaction could excels privacy, but then auditing is also not possible if you don't keep such thing, except you just have the idea that who has authenticated at what time, that's it. For what and why is not being answered. So there is how the system work. So there are devices which says that okay, you input your Aadhaar number, and then it says that okay, so from the service provider, so service provider could be bank, or service provider could be micro ATM, or service provider could be some health disbursement or whatever it is. And it says that, so system is integrated, and it says that okay, give me your Aadhaar number. And after that it says that okay, give me your biometric. And then this data is sent to Aadhaar centrally integrated depository, and the answer is coming yes or no. So is this the individual who claims? So it's a one-to-one search. Okay, so it generally operates on verification mode, and that's how it can work. However, as I made a statement in the beginning, that during enrollment it is a one-to-one search to remove deduplicate, pick up or to detect or to remove duplication. So this has been already discussed. It supports multi-factor authentication using biometric, one-time PIN and combinations thereof, and it supports all type of network protocol and devices. So that they have this again an implementation detail. They have integrated the system in such a fashion that multiple devices, multiple types, multiple. So they have defined certain APIs, and you just link yourself to that. So there is something called Aadhaar onboarding, and there is something called Aadhaar seeding. So you have to first register to UIDAI that okay, I want to utilize Aadhaar service to verify my customer or to extend my services to users, and then they get registered, and then they submit the interface. Okay, this is the interface on which I'll be working, wherein I'll be taking, I'll be querying to UIDAI database for biometric verification, and then these are the other details. So that is onboarding, and once the UIDAI approves it, then there is a back integration of Aadhaar verification with the provider's interface, and once it has been done, then there is a Aadhaar seeding. So Aadhaar seeding says that okay, then that particular provider now want to link Aadhaar to its own identity. For example, bank wants to link bank account number to Aadhaar. So next time a person will be straight away verified, and it's like a federated sort of authentication. Either through Aadhaar or either through account number, he can avail the benefits. And so this seeding is important, and then it may have, so what it leads to? It leads to, eventually, though we have multiple identities, but if they are linked to Aadhaar, and Aadhaar being a completely non-intelligent number, later on it provide consumer to use Aadhaar rather than disclosing their otherwise sensitive identities. It's like, if I'm linking my credit card number with Aadhaar, then later on I provide only my UID number, which even if somebody knows, it is not going to do any harm. Because when I use that, at that time, whenever for performing any transaction, then I'm committing that, okay, I'll be providing biometric sample at that time. But it never reveals your other identities, which could be otherwise tricky, or when stolen is complicated or difficult. Data encrypted at source, tamper-proof data, network security. So this is what they say, how they have done it, but data audited. Now data audited, now Aadhaar says that we don't keep transactions, and now they say that we have audited data. This audited data could be, as I told you, that when this authentication is done and from where, that's it. But why, and so those things may not be answered. Authentication data is about 500 bytes to 2.5 kilobyte, and device cost is comparable to handheld devices. And this query is done in 1 second in CIDR and 4 to 5 seconds round trip. So this is a substantial good performance result. However, I am sure that this result looks beautiful now, because though there are 882 million Aadhaar number issued, but right now they are being used at various the users are right now very small number, small fraction of that, and as a result we get such fine things. However, later on we see that there would be lots of escalated traffic, escalated number, and of course at the same time, but government is augmenting the infrastructure as well, so we may find out balance later on. Being in India or being in any biometric project, there are challenges, and those in biometric can understand very well what is these challenges. Like in Aadhaar, enrolling 1.2 billion people require hundreds of thousands of biometric devices for enrollment, and they are coming from various vendors. And when so there is always, those devices should match to certain standard, so that is there and that device can work. However, we don't know, take it easy, but something made in China and something made in USA or something made in UK, there is always for initial period they work very well, they conform to standard, quality is fine, performance is fine, and then suddenly aging effect comes, or suddenly something goes wrong after 1,000 transactions, one device say that, oh, I'm tired, done. So that there are the devices challenge. The second challenge is acquisition challenge. People in India, which has a very diverse geographic and cultural things, and you may find that people will produce sample which you feel that will not be acceptable to the system. However, we are trying to handle this. Here the same person, two different face could appear, and then this this side, it is on a bit of user training sort of thing, that how you could advise people that you have to look into camera, or what kind of fingerprint is to be, what kind of pressure you have to exert on fingerprint scanner, so on and so forth. So these challenges are there, and we admit that these challenges are to be taken care of, and there are some ways by which we are doing it. There is something called, I'll tell you, and then we'll go back. There is something called base finger detection that has been used. So those in biometric can immediately sense what it is. When you take 10 prints, you also do analysis that which finger is giving you the best quality to the system, which finger is giving best quality to the system. And even after so repeated request, you may make a sense that, okay, this finger is better than that finger, and this would give insights that this is the finger that is ideal for biometric authentication. And also you know that for particular subject, if that by default finger is not good, which is the next best? And it also says that some subjects are not giving consistently good quality sample, then do we have to enforce two fingerprint or five fingers authentication or not? So this is instrumental and central. So there is a way by which you can rank finger, which finger is giving you the best result. There is a way by which two base fingers, and you can use it. So this base finger detection, which could be applied to fingerprints, provides consistently higher authentication accuracy, improves reliability of authentication, reduces attempts to authenticate, helps to identify residents who are likely to need two fingers for authentication, identify residents who may need to update their biometrics, identify residents who may need to use alternate authentication mechanism due to inherently poor finger quality. So there is a vision with the available technology and available issues, because we know that biometric systems are work by inherently with errors, and when we play around with that false acceptance rate and false matching rate, it is really difficult that if we increase one, other would get, if we reduce one, other would get increased, and if you, it's a tricky. And so in fact, it has been analyzed that without base finger detection, at what FAR one has to operate, and with base finger detection, what FAR one has to operate. And you can see from here that with base finger detection, we could work at close to 2%, 2% or 4% FAR, which is a very good FAR for such a big system. I hope you know what is false acceptance rate in biometric system. False acceptance rate is by which, because you have to work with error, and the subject is not be giving 100% match sample, or match subject is not able to generate 100% match template on actual conditions, and he has been enrolled at that time, whatever template is stored, we give it mark 100%, and then when it is on actual condition, there may be a different sensor, he may be coming from a different environment like humidity or dirty fingers, and then he give a different quality sample, and so we have to work with errors. And setting up the threshold depends on the criticality of security requirement is very important. And that's why this small measures like base finger detection would be very, very helpful. Yeah. Yeah. See, eventually it's a one-to-one match. So Aadhaar, right now, when the document says that it is working at 2% FAR, which is a very, very good FAR. However, we know that this would introduce a multiple request to be done. So two things are inbuilt here. One is until unless, so first we check quality. So if quality measure is not above certain things, then we ask a person to give again the sample. Okay, so that would improve our template matching quite accurate, because now see if they are adhering to certain quality, then it is quite likely that they are generating a very good template which is very close to the stored one. So that's it. Let's go back and what's how about time? Odin, what is our 10 minutes? Okay. Okay. So then let me move ahead. And here this says that there are banking and financial services which are onboarded 56 and in process 33. This is a little old slide, but it says that there are various agencies which is onboarded on this Aadhaar system. And say like insurance sector, credit bureaus, telecom industry, private sector. And then there are some applications and services that government is rolling out, and I'll list some of them. This is a passenger checking in using authentication on Indian Railways. So they are going to put such small devices, and you know at the time of booking system you have to enter your Aadhaar number, that's it, and you don't require biometric device at your home. And when you're checking into the train, you enter your Aadhaar number and you give so that Aadhaar number linked to your birth and ticket and whether it is correct or not. And when you just put your finger, it then connects to UID database and it says that yes, you are you, and now you are already checked in. So now the TTE comes, he first check this machine. Okay, my 75 out of 100 people to be on board are checked. So he will go to then he also does know that which seats are left unattended, and he will go there only. So this is a small step. Then this is a seeding, how the seeding can be done. I think we have already discussed that, but this example says that there are state resident and they are also citizen of country. So they are trying to link Aadhaar seeding to know your, this is KYR, know your resident. And they provide detail and then they are linked, and the operator is given the opportunity that can you want to use the old data, and or are you happy with the old data and the Aadhaar data, or you want to have some more new data, and then seeding can be done. Role and responsibilities, there is no time to discuss that. And there is a Aadhaar-enabled payment system. Again, bank, once they are onboarded and then seeded their account with respect to Aadhaar, then the banking service can be, done through National Payment Corporation Gateway. So, and then there are micro ATMs, specifically in rural area. So because of this Aadhaar, they have now started a bank where there is no bank infrastructure. Only a handheld device, which says that a guy comes there and says that, okay, I am a bank, I am here for 2 hours. People can come, and then once they have Aadhaar and they are linked to the public distributed system, they authenticate themselves and the small payment can be given to them directly. So this is very, very useful for a large section of the society in India which live below poverty line. And otherwise, without that, most of the time the government money, it is sanctioned on paper, it is delivered, but it may not reach to the actual beneficiary. So those kind of things is here you can see that how people go there, and go there means even it's a bank comes to you, you don't go to bank, and they happily authenticate themselves and get some pension or some whatever installment they supposed to get, all those stuff. This is another project in this month only rolled out, starting May 2, children born in Haryana state. So this is one state. So all states are now joining this bandwagon, and will be concurrently Aadhaar enrolled and their birth certificate issued within 7 days. And this measure will help monitor delivery of all welfare and health related benefits to an infant. Also help in tracking the child from birth to immunization to school admission. And besides, it will seek to serve as a database of children for timely and assured delivery of services. So you can see now, if we have one national ID biometric kind of system, how multiple service can be, enrolled from that. This is interesting thing, Jeevan Praman. Jeevan is life and Praman is certificate. So this is Aadhaar-based digital life certificate. It's Aadhaar-based biometric verification system. Enables pensioner to submit a digital life certificate online. See, otherwise by central law, each pensioner who is a retired government employee has to visit and prove that he is alive, twice in a year. And that's sometimes is very difficult for very old people and who have become immobile. And now with the Aadhaar, as I told you that, like bank is going there, like that somebody with machine will go there, get their, this, or it could be anybody, not government, not bank, it could be anybody. And because Aadhaar is linked across all these different services, even any, helping agency through which one can prove that, yes, I'm alive. And it is direct benefit to 5 million central government pensioner, besides lots of state government pensioner. So there are many other applications like public distribution system, National Rural Employment Guarantee Act, attendance tracking, social welfare scheme, property registration, Aadhaar enabled payment services, then credit bureaus, then insurance sector, telecom industry for establishing identity and KYC, and this also we have discussed. This is the latest dashboard, which says that 833 million Aadhaar IDs has been issued, and that's and this states that which states has how many. There is a small detail, like Uttar Pradesh is the mostly populated place from where this one guy has come from IIIT Allahabad, and their maximum about 100 million people have registered from that individual one state. So thank you for your time and attention. Questions.
Thank you, Dhiran, and we open. I'm sure there's some questions. Yes.
First of all, I'm not from Uttar Pradesh. I'm from West Bengal, but I studied in IIIT.
Okay.
And second thing is that this deduplication process. Actually, I have enrolled twice.
Yeah.
When this project was started as a pilot project in 2011, in the GPU. Post office, they started as a pilot project, and every day 200 people was enrolled on that time. So I have enrolled on that time. So my Aadhaar number came after a sudden delay, after 2-6 months delay. Then when they started as a regional wise,
so you
like every
you
places,
yeah,
they go there and then started enrolling. I have enrolled again. Because they told me that we are not sure.
So you have two Aadhaar IDs?
No, it's one Aadhaar ID.
Okay. So why it is one?
Because I think they checked it.
Yes.
They checked.
Okay. So
that.
So that's
so
important.
It's a confirmation.
Yeah.
Not.
Okay.
Like
good. Good. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because initially I was worried, because when it was in pilot phase,
yeah,
the deduplication was not in air. They after a little success of pilot project, they started we can also integrate this.
Yeah.
I'm happy to note that there is a case here that who enrolled twice and only got one Aadhaar ID.
Yeah.
Good.
And another thing is that I have one query that,
yeah,
is this database used by law enforcement agency for any kind of something?
I tell you. See, as I told you that how do you onboard on UIDAI? So, I cannot say that whether they are using it or not, but if they have onboarded with Aadhaar, okay, by you know, the way bank has onboarded with Aadhaar. Similarly, police department, say for example Bombay cybercrime branch or any other branch, they have also enrolled with that. Then they, as I told you, that they can only get yes no response, then they, whatever they want to do, they can do. So there is you know, legitimate onboarding. There is no hidden onboarding otherwise. It's not like that law and welfare can get more information than others. It can only get demographic information. No biometric data is provided to them. It's like they cannot probably, but they can have you know, something with home ministry, and then they can request that, okay, look, these are the fingerprints we have of criminals. Can you do a database search on CIDR and can you tell us who they are? We don't know. But I this is what you are trying to ask me. Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very interesting presentation. Actually, I have many questions, but we have very limited time.
Okay.
So I have just two questions. The first one about this newborn baby's birth certificate. Currently, actually, we also have EU projects dedicated to this aspect, to standardize the birth certificates. And one of the motivation underlying motivation is use biometrics to prove the ownership between the baby and the paper. I'm quite curious about this. What type of modality you are using?
Yeah, here, you know, as I told you earlier, that though the newborn's fingerprints and biometric data is not taken, but they are given Aadhaar ID,
okay,
based on their parents' Aadhaar and demographic details.
Okay.
So they are onboarded, they are given Aadhaar ID, and their biometric data can be taken after they become 5 years
okay.
of age.
I understand. Okay. Another question is about the links.
About?
The links, the links. Linkage.
Linkage.
Yeah, among different servers or applications in the centralized database. How to understand this if you say there's no linkage? To me, the biometric data itself can be used to link.
Biometric?
Biometric data itself can be used to link the same person in different sub-databases, right?
No. So see, biometric data is centrally deposited, okay? And it can be accessed, you know, individual cannot access that data. But, you know, for verification purposes, somebody asks you a question, for instance, a bank. Bank has a linkage there, but bank has no direct access to that database. So bank interface say that, okay, you want to verify that you are you, give me your Aadhaar number. Okay, and then they get, this is my fingerprint scanner, put your fingerprint here. And then they put up a request to CIDR of Aadhaar, and then Aadhaar repository says that yes or no, that's it. So now the question is here, I am coming to your, I am sensing what you are at, that now the person's biometric can be taken by bank. Is it what you are trying to say? Yes. So no, but database, which database? Centralized database is, yes, very secure. And it only operates through the specified interface and a specified way of protocol or communication or whatever it is, and it just gives you yes no answer, that's it. It doesn't transmit any biometric data back. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
For this Aadhaar, so you know, I'm not police, right? I'm not like a private detective or anybody certified to do anything. But I find some fingerprints on a glass, and I want to know who used the glass, and I want to know who uses this office and everything. So, is there anything that could prevent me from taking the fingerprint and let's say pick, I don't know, 5,000 people that I think it might be?
No.
And trying.
I mean, it is right now not allowed. It's not allowed. See,
not allowed,
you have to, I tell you, you have to give Aadhaar number first and then fingerprint. It's in verification mode. So you,
yes,
cannot give fingerprint and you cannot, it's a one way. You are given, you have to give Aadhaar number.
Okay.
You got it?
So the Aadhaar number is random.
Yes.
So that's the point.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Frederick.
A false accept rate of about 2%, let's say it's 1%, which is still very high in terms of the numbers that you're talking.
Yes.
In this case, you were talking about one fingerprint. Why not check two or three fingerprints, or a fingerprint and an iris? You get much better numbers.
Yeah, those slides were there, but somehow we skipped that slide.
Okay.
So it was there. There are five modes in which you can operate. Only one biometric, two biometric, three biometric, biometric plus something, one-time password. All those stuffs are there.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, eventually, theoretically, we realize that this is very dangerous system and it is vulnerable to so many things. Yes, it is. But when we operate it in certain measures, so, you know, in information security, no technology is giving you 100% security. But, with the help of available technology, which is not even mature, you can design certain policies and it gives you the best, at the time security, and you have to live with that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.